Hello and good evening from Yerushalayim HaKodesh. In the weekly shiur tonight, we will start a series discussing the Shemitah, the upcoming year of Shemitah. And tonight we'll talk about the historical aspects of Shemitah from the first Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash period, and even after the second Beis HaMikdash period. We hope, as is Hashem, to have another part on the Shemitah in the modern era in the last 400 or 500 years with the issues, the contemporary issues, at the Mechir, etc. And also to discuss the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael based on Mishnayos and Shavuos, etc., the different lands. Well, as we usually do, together with the historical, archaeological, and geographical resources that we have. So this coming year, to start Bezrat Hashem, this coming Thursday, Tavshin Samaches, is going to be a Shemitah year, as the seventh year of the cycle, which the Torah says, in Parshas Bahar, Adav Shem Moshe Bar Sinai Leimar, Dabel Bnei Yashav Amar Talem, Kisavor La'aretz Ashani Nasem Lachem, V'shav Saharetz Shabbos Lashem. When you come to the land should rest Shabbos. It should rest on the seventh year. You're not allowed to do any work in the field, and all the fruits and crops are hefka, and you do that in the seventh year. You do seven cycles. Then the Torah continues and says that the you do seven cycles of 7 years. And after 49 years, you have a 50th year, and that 50th year is Yovel. And Yovel, you also do not work the land. The Eved Ivri slaves are freed, go back home. The fields that have been sold within those 50 years go back to the original owners, and that's the year of Yovel. So that's the mitzvah in the Torah. The mitzvah applies only in Eretz Yisrael, and only after coming into Eretz Yisrael, and only after they captured Eretz Yisrael and divided off Eretz Yisrael. I mentioned quickly a very interesting Alshech. The Alshech asks a question, because it's clear that the comparison between the mitzvah of Shemitah and the mitzvah of Shabbos. In the mitzvah of Shabbos, you work 6 days and you rest on the seventh, and likewise on Shemitah, you work 6 years and rest on the seventh. And he asks, if so, so how come the mitzvah of Shemitah applies only in Eretz Yisrael and on Chutz La'aretz as well, just like the mitzvah of Shabbos applies all over the world? So he says that there's a major difference. And the purpose of Shabbos is to show that Hashem created the world in 6 days and he rested on the seventh. And therefore it applies all over the globe. While the mitzvah of Shemitah is just to remind us, as the Gemara says in Masech Sanhedrin, to remind us that the land belongs to Hashem. And he gave us the land, and when he tells us that we're not allowed to work the land, we don't work. So it's only to remind us that the land of Eretz Yisrael was given to us by Hashem, and he's the actual owner, and therefore the mitzvah only applies in Eretz Yisrael, and not in Chutz La'aretz. Okay, so we have the mitzvah of Shemitah, and the mitzvah of Shemitah begins. As I said, based on the Torah's Kohanim, Gemara and Kiddushin, and the end of the first parak, and other places, it only applies after Yerusha v'Yeshiva, meaning after they captured Eretz Yisrael and after they divided it up amongst the Shvatim. This process was a process that took 14 years, 7 years of conquering Eretz Yisrael, 7 years of dividing up Eretz Yisrael. The source for that, numerous places the Gemara mentions in the Gemara, we will soon see. The Rambam, in Perek Yudach Shemit V'Yovel, Halacha Aleph, Mitzvah's Essay List for Shanim, Sheva Shanim, Mekadosh Nas Chamish. The mitzvah to count 7 years, 7 times, and be Mekadosh the 50th year. In Halacha Beis, the Rambam says, Zume'eim Asa Yitchilu Limnos, when do they begin this counting in the 7 years? Me'achar Abayasay Shanim Shanichasu Lavetz. After 14 years that they came into Eretz Yisrael, that's when they started. So if we do a little calculations, and the Rambam in a moment will do them, we know that the Pasuk says in Sefer Melech that Shlomo HaMelech began building the Beis HaMikdash 480 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. If we subtract the 40 years that they were in the Midbar, that leaves us with 440, and we subtract 14 years that they captured Eretz Yisrael and divided it up, We're left with 426. The first Beis HaMikdash stood for a total of 410 years, and that gives us a total of 836 years. We know that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed 850 years after Bnei Yisrael came into Eretz Canaan. And the remez for that in Parshas Baschanan, it says, Kisel Libanim of Nevanim, when you have children, grandchildren, Venoshantim Ba'aretz, and you'll be in the land, you get old in the land, and you feel comfortable, and you start worshiping over the Zohar, Hashem warns you that Ki Ovo Tovedim. Venoshantim is Gematria 852, and the Gemara in the end of Gittin says that Hashem did us a favor. He sent us into Golos 2 years early, because if not, then the Klola of the klala mentioned over there in Pashas Vashanon, Hashem said it would have been fulfilled in its entirety had it been 852 years. So Hashem did us a favor and he sent us into Golos early, 2 years, 850 years. So the 850 years are 410 that the first Beis HaMikdash stood, and another 440, which you mentioned before, from when Bnei Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael until they built the Beis HaMikdash. That's a total of 850. Now, we have to keep in mind that besides the years of Shemitah, when we do calculations, there's also years of Yovel. Yovel is the 50th year, and we have a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim how exactly we calculate the Shemitah and the Yovel years. According to Chachamim, the Shemitah, each cycle is a cycle of 50 years. So the first, you have seven cycles of seven, and then Yovel is the 50th year, and the Yovel, it does not count for the beginning of the next cycle. The cycle of the 7 years begins after Yovel, year 51. So therefore, if we go like by intervals of 50, so year 50 will be Yovel, year 100 will be Yovel, 150, 200, etc. Pretty easy to remember. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, he has a different form of calculation. Rabbi Yehuda maintains that the year of Yovel is actually the first year of the next cycle of Shemitah. So in other words, we have seven cycles of 7 years. That's a total of 49. When Yovel comes along, which is the 50th year, that's not only the 50th year which you're not allowed to work, but it's also the first year of the next cycle. And therefore, the next Shemitah is going to be in the year 56, and not in the year 57 like Chacham. Everything is going to be moved up a year, and the next Yovel is going to be in the year 99, and not in the year 100 like Chacham. So that's the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, and we pass him like Chachamim. We pass him like Chachamim that you don't count the Yovel as one of the years of the Shemitah. But as we'll see, things get more complicated when we get to the second Beis HaMikdash. So, if we have a total of 850 years from when Bnei Yisrael came in to Eretz Canaan until the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, 850 years is exactly 17 Yovels. And it should be that the Beis HaMikdash would have been destroyed according to Chachamim, who don't count the Yovel as the beginning of the next cycle. The Beis HaMikdash would have been destroyed in that year of Yovel. But, as the Gemara says in Herchin, that wasn't the case. We learn from HaPasuk in Yecheskel that only 14 years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was the Yovel, the 15th year. So how did this work? So the answer that the Gemara gives is what we just said before, that the 14 years that they came into Eretz Yisrael, they captured the land and divided the land. Those are not included in the Cheshbon, and therefore we have an extra 14 years, and the conclusion of those 14 years to make Yovel is after the Purim. And that's what the Rambam lists over here. It says that the Omer goes through the whole Cheshbon, when they came in, 7 years later was Shemitah, and then after Yovel. Allah Gimel, the Rambam rules, right. Shiva say Yovel, money, Yisrael, Mishinechasel, Lars, Vachayot. 17 Yovels they had from when they came into Eretz Yisrael until they went into Golos. The year that they went into Golos was the year, the first year of Shemitah, Matzah Shemitah, of the previous year. Ushnas Shloshim Vesheish Mishloshim Yovel. That was the 36th year of Yovel. Shabamas Shana Vesh Shana Muhammad Vesh. So the Rambam says the Cheshbon, which is fairly simple, and that's the whole sugya in Erechin, in the second Perek, to show how the Brisa says that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in Matzei Shviyas, and that fits with Chachamim. Very simple, that they began counting 14 years after they came into Eretz Yisrael, so therefore the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in the year 836. From when they count, and that year is Matzei Shviyas. Okay, now comes the more complicated process. Now the Rambam says, "Kivun Shachar." Now the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and Bnei Yisrael went into Galus for 70 years. Why was the Beis Hamikdash destroyed? Shemitah is a mitzvah that carries with a heavy weight and heavy punishment if we're not mekayim the mitzvah. And the Galus of the first Beis Hamikdash was a punishment for not keeping Shemitah. And in the Tochacha, in Pasuk B'chukosai, it says, "As tirta arti shabbos aser kolim yashama v'atem eretz yivechem." You didn't keep Shemitah, and the punishment is you're going to Galus, and for those years that you didn't keep Shemitah, the land will be desolate. Rashi, over there, and in numerous places in Tanakh, makes a calculation to show that Bnei Yisrael did not keep 70 years of Shemitah and Yovel, and because of that, they went to Galus for 70 years. So the Rambam says, "Kibbutz Shachar Rabbayis Batel Minyan Zeh Mishabat Laharetz." The moment that Bnei Yisrael went to Galus, so therefore the calculation that was has terminated, no longer counting. Why? Because the Kedusha, the Rambam doesn't say it, but I assume that he's relying on what he says in Nechas Trumos, that the moment that they wanted to go, the first Kedusha was Batel. And the Kedusha was Batel, and there's nothing to calculate Shemitah, because there is no Kedusha there to show. Venisha Ha'aretz Chareva Shivim Shana. And the land remains destroyed for 70 years. Venivna Bayit Sheni. And then the second Beis Hamikdash was built. V'abamas V'esam Shana Omet. And the second Beis Hamikdash stood for 420 years. V'vashana Hashmiyas M'binyano Ola Ezra. And in the seventh year from when it was built, Ezra went to came from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, and that is the second arrival. So the Rambam says that in Bayit Sheni it begins from the seventh year. The second Beis Hamikdash stands for 420 years. The Rambam says we don't count the first 6 years because Ezra didn't come yet, and it only the calculation of the Shemitah and Yovel begins when Ezra came in the seventh year. So we have a total of 414 years. Now, the Gemara says that the second Beis Hamikdash was also destroyed on a Matzei Shemitah. It's machlokas amongst the Rishonim what that means. Remember, the second Beis Hamikdash stood for 420 years, but it's not a complete 420 years because it's inaugurated in the month of Adar, and it's destroyed in the month of Av, so it's a half year. And for that, there's a machlokas amongst the Rishonim. Does that mean that it stood for 419 and a half years, or does it mean it stood for 420 and a half years? And that's the whole sugya that Rishonim in First Perek and Avodah Zarah discuss, grapple with the issue. And that also has bearing on which year that actually the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Now we know from all types of sources, as we'll see, that the year 70, or the year 69, was a Shemitah year. Now the Gemara says that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in Matzei Shemitah. So does that mean that it was destroyed in the year 70 and Matzei Shemitah? Or as the Rambam wants to learn originally, that it was actually destroyed in the year 69, when it says that the year that it was destroyed is Matzei Shemitah, it's talking about the year that's going to begin right after the Churban. So the Churban is an Av, and in Tishrei begins a new year, and that's Matzei Shemitah. According to Rashi and Avodah Zarah, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in the year 68. Again, there's a lot of discussion exactly how to fit, whatever, but that's the point. The Gemara says that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in Matzei Shemitah, and the Rambam is going to try to figure out and calculate how exactly that was. Before we go to that, let's go through the Rambam first, because that's important, then we'll get back to the historical sources. So the Rambam says like this. In the second Beis Hamikdash, Rambam says there was no Yovel. Why is there no Yovel? Because Yovel applies only Bizman Shekol Yoshver Oleh, when the majority of the Jewish people are living in Eretz Yisrael and everyone's sitting in their shevet. And since in the second Beis Hamikdash the majority of the Jewish people were not there, so therefore there's no mitzvah of Yovel. But nonetheless, although there's no mitzvah of Yovel, the year of Yovel is taken into consideration when you do the calculation. So, if it would have been Yovel, the 50th year would be the end of the first cycle, and not count into the second cycle, according to Chachamim, which is the way we paskin. So then, even though in the second place which is no Yovel, but year 50 does not calculate into the next cycle. We have an empty year, and that's the year 50. So Ramela the Rambam says, if we have a total of 414 years, so then, what comes out is 400 years of 8 cycles of Yovel. And again, although we don't count Yovel, although we didn't have Yovel, but we count Yovel as a year. So 400 years we knock off, and we're left with 14. And 14 is exactly Shemitah. So now it's the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed in Av of the Shemitah year. So what does the Rambam do, the Gemara, that the Gemara says that reserved Matzah Shemitah? So the Rambam says, the year Shecharav Abayis Bachrona, the year that the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Shetchilasa Mitishrei Sha'achar Churban Shnei Chodashim, that begins right after the Churban, 2 months later, in Tishrei, that year was Matzah Shemitah. That's how the Rambam does. So the Rambam says that we calculate, according to the way the Rambam wants to do it, we calculate the years of Yovel, and the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in the Shemitah year. But when the Gemara says of certain Matzah Shemitah, means the following year, the year to follow immediately after the Churban, 2 months later, that was a Shemitah year. And then the Rambam says, and we continue with this Cheshbon. So the Rambam says in our days, that we are here in the year 1107, after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, so 1100 years are again 22, cycles of Yovel, correct, and 22 cycles of Yovel, take off those, all we're left is 7 years, so that 7th year, the year 1107, according to the Rambam's calculation, is the year of Shemitah. So the Rambam says, according to his understanding of the Gemara, that during the second Beis Hamikdash, they clearly calculated this 50th, let's call it Phantom Yovel. It wasn't Yovel, but they calculated, the Phantom Yovel year was calculated, and the Rambam maintains that even after the Churban, the Phantom Yovel year is also calculated. And therefore his year, which is 1107 after the Churban, which basically puts it, in our terms, in the year, which fits. The Rambam was in Eretz Yisrael in 1170, from there he went to Mitzrayim. So that year the Rambam says the Shemitah. But then the Rambam comes along and says, So the Rambam comes along and says, well, we have a tradition from the Gaonim, who have a Masoras Ishmael Piyish, that during Churban Bayis Rishon, they did calculate Shemitos, but they didn't calculate the Phantom Yovel year. And then the Rambam continues, V'chein Meshachar Bachrona Lo Manu Shnas Chamishim Al Hashem Hashem Abilvad. And after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, so then, after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, so then again, you only count cycles of 7, you don't add this Phantom Yovel year. And therefore the Rambam says, so if we take the year 1107 since the Churban and divide it by 7, it doesn't divide equally. That's 1106 divides evenly. So therefore, we come at the year 1107 is Matzah Shviyas. So the Rambam says the Gaonim have a Masoras. that in the Korban they only counted cycles of seven, and after the destruction by Semilus, we also only count cycles of seven, and therefore the Rambam says, and this also comes from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which we'll see momentarily. And the Rambam continues, Ushnaas HaShemitah Yidum for Semites of Gehonim and Eretz Yisrael. And the year of Shemitah is known to the Gehonim and the people living in Eretz Yisrael. V'chulam l'monu el Ushnei Churban Mashlich Hanosan Sheva Sheva. And all of them calculate only cycles of 7 years. No phantom Yovli. Well, if we cheshbon zeh, the Ishnaas Zuh, Shishnaas Sheva Meh V'el V'chulam Matzei Shviyas. And according to this calculation, our year is Matzei Shviyas. The year 1106 was Shviyas, and now it's Matzei Shviyas. So the Rambam over here on the one hand has his understanding of the Gemara, and on the other hand he faces the tradition of the Gaonim. The Rambam says, we rely on the Cheshbon of the Gaonim. And when it comes to Maisa, which Maisa? Because in the first and second and fourth and fifth years of the cycle you take Maisa Sheni, and in the third and sixth year Maisa Rani. And Shviyas, and Hashmatas Ksafim, the mitzvah of Hashmatas Ksafim, knowing debts at the end of Shemitah, we all go according to the Kabbalah of the Gaonim. Why? Shakabbalah v'amais ha'mudim g'dolim b'irav and really told us. He's saying the tradition and the Maisa, we see the fact that in Eretz Yisrael, this is the way they know it. They have Kabbalah, that's the way it goes, and that's the way the halacha is, that this year is a Matzei Shemitah. So it's very interesting how the Rambam here accepts the continuity in Eretz Yisrael and the Kabbalah of the Gaonim to override what he feels wasn't shot in the Gemara. The Rambam brings a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. I think one Avodah Zarah says like this: Haman de lo yoda kama shnei b'shavu hu homi. The person who doesn't know which year of the 7th year cycle he's standing. Nitvi chachata. So first of all, he should add an extra year. Why? Because the Beis Hamikdash was—he's going to calculate from the years of the Churban. But the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in a year which was Matzei Shemitah. So that's the very first year of the cycle. So first of all, add 1 year to the Churban, and then. He should do calculate the klolei, the hundreds of years with yovlos, and the rest in 7 year cycles, and subtract from each 102 years. Why subtract from each 102 years? Because there is no, the yovel year doesn't calculate. So Rashi says the reason why we do this is because we pass like Rabbi Yehuda that the year of Yovel is the beginning of the next cycle. But the Rambam clearly, and Tosfos and others, learn not like that. And saying that could be how the Rambam learned originally. Like Rashi. He learned originally like Rashi that the Gemara is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, but according to Chachamim, you do have the phantom Yovel year. And then the Rambam comes along, and like Tosfos and others, saying no, that this Gemara is talking even according to Chachamim. Even according to Chachamim, you don't have the phantom Yovel year after the Churban. That's how the Rambam learns, and that's how he rules. What's interesting is that the Kesef Mishnah over here asks a question. And why does the Rambam have to go back to mention that they didn't calculate the Yovlos during the time of the Churban. Why? What is that necessary for? And the Kesef Mishnah goes through a whole thing, and the Kesef Mishnah wants to say, according to the Rambam, that even in the second Beis Hamikdash period, they also did not have the phantom Yovel year, according to the Rambam. The Rambam was talking in the Rambam itself. When don't they have this phantom Yovel year? They don't have it in the goes Bavel, the first 7 years, between the first and second Beis Hamikdash, and they don't have it after the Churban. But the Rambam doesn't mention what happened during the second Beis Hamikdash. The Kesef Mishnah says that was the same during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, and we're going to try to see if this somewhat fits in what we know historically or how to sort out the thing with this Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah, by the way, most argue on the Kesef Mishnah and the Pashas of the Rambam is clearly not like that. The Rambam is saying that during the time of the Churban you don't count the Yovel year. But why during the second Beis Hamikdash? But anyway, that is the opinion That is the opinion of the Kesef Mishnah, and therefore his calculation is simple. You have 70 years of Golos Bravo, that's intervals of 7. 70 years and 420 of the second Beis HaMikdash is also intervals of 7, and therefore you start counting the year afterwards, and that's how the problem solved. So let's just 1 second. Let's see if we can what we know from other historical sources about the year of Shemitah, and see sort out this issue with the case of Mishnah. So we have a very interesting Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Chelek, Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Aleph. The Gemara says like this: Tana Rabbana, Beshrim Ma'aba B'Nisan is Natolu Dimusay Mi'Yehuda Mi'Yushalayim. And the 24th of Nisan is a special day of festivity, a holiday in Megillas Tainis, because those people who came to claim, to stake claim to Eretz Yisrael that belongs to them, they were finally silenced. There was, as well as the story, Shabbat b'nei Afriki aladunim Yisrael of Alexander Smokta. The people of Africa came to Alexander the Great, and they told him, Amla Eretz Kanan Shalanu. Eretz Kanan belongs to us. It says that's the name Canaan, and Canaan was the father of was our ancestor, so therefore belongs to us. So this person by the name of Pierre Benfasisa says, let me go and answer them. To make a long story short, where are you bringing the raya from? I'll bring you an answer from the Torah. Shanema says, Vayoma or Canaan. Ever that vodim here lach. Curses Canaan, he should be a slave. Ever chikaran chosim, ever lemin chosim lemin. If a slave buys properties, it belongs to the master. So you're Canaan, you own this land, maybe so, but you're our slave. And if you're our slave, it belongs to us. How many years you have not actually served us? So not only isn't Eretz Canaan belong to you, but you owe us money. So Alexander the Great said to Africans, "Hachzir lo tshuva, give an answer. Give us time. Shloshes yom. Give us 3 days to think of an answer." He gave them the time, but they didn't find an answer. Miad Baruchu, they rather ran away, fearing the wrath of Alexander. They left the field plowed, and they left the vineyards growing. And it concludes that year was a Shemitah year, so the Jews didn't have much what to eat. And the next happened that the Africans who came to stake the claim had to run away, so the Jews had what to eat. So we know that this year that Alexander the Great comes is a year that's a Shemitah. Okay, so now we can try to work back and see if we can figure it out. According to scientific calculations, Alexander the Great comes into Eretz Yisrael in the year 332 BCE. He comes along the coast from the north to the south. He captures from Turkey. He captures Lebanon, Syria, comes to Eretz Yisrael. From Eretz Yisrael, he makes his way to Egypt. He captures Egypt. From Egypt, he comes back to Eretz Yisrael, deals with some rebellions, such as the Samaritans who rebelled, and that also has to do with the whole story with Shimon HaTzadik, Book of Yom Kippur. We'll not talk about that today. And continues up north, and then he heads eastward, you know, to finish off the Persian Empire. So, he is in Eretz Yisrael twice. He's in Eretz Yisrael the year 332 and the year 331 BC. Those are the two times. So, if we assume, as I said, that the second Beis HaMikdash, the Shemitah year, was the year 69, and that fits with our calculation today. Because if we're in the year 2008, subtract 69, we get 1939, divide that by 7. I do 2008 because I'm talking already about the next year. It comes out 277. So the year 69 is a Shemitah year. So we have the year 69, and Alexander the Great comes either in the year 332 or 331 BC. So let's say he comes into the year 331. That's a total of 400 That's a total of 400 years. So now Alexander the Great is in Eretz Yisrael 400 years before the Churban. And if we count those Yovel years, so then it would definitely fit. If we go in the year, if we go in the year 332, let's start with the year 70, and, whatever, it comes out 400 years, and if we go with the calculation of Yovel years, it's going to have to come out, the calculation is correct, because if the year 69 was a Shemitah year, and we add 331 years going back from when Alexander the Great comes, it's exactly a total of 400. 400 is exactly an even cycle, which means it was a Shemitah year also. Because every 50 years is a block of Shemitah, so we always take off the blocks of 50. So in other words, if we're in the year 12, and the year 12 was Shemitah, so then 100 years before that, the year 12 was also Shemitah. So, if the year 69 was Shemitah, and I go back to the year 331 BCE, so I get to a Shemitah year. And that would fit with, what we historically know when Alexander the Great came into Eretz Yisrael. So that fits if we give those phantom Yovel years. But if we don't give those phantom Yovel years, then there's no way that we can reconcile the year 331 or the year 332 being a Shemitah year with the year 6970. It's going to have to be, it's going to be off by 3, 4, or 5 years. So that is a problem with the case of Mishnah. This Gemara over here, to fit, according to the case of Mishnah, is a problem. But the case of Mishnah, Kuvay Devim Kamen Munach, and we're going to try to offer some solution. I don't know how good the solution is, because it really needs working on. But I'll just throw an idea for now. And again, I'm just saying Adarcha Efsher. And Adarcha Efsher comes out like this. The Gemara says like this, that the Malchus Paras, the Nabayis, the Persian Empire, during the days of the Second Beis Hamikdash was 34 years. And then began Malchus Yavan. So in other words, Malchus Yavan begins in the year 386 before the Churban, according to the Gemara, 386 before the Churban. Now, this creates another problem, because if the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the year 70, and I go back 386, then I'm running to the year 316 BC, which is much later than Alexander. So it creates another problem, besides the whole issue of how long the Persian Empire ruled, which is a whole issue in itself, which we're not discussing now. But this creates another problem. But if I go with this Gemara, it comes out that 386 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was when Alexander the Great comes to Eretz Yisrael. So if I take 300 and if I go from the year 70, I take 385 actually, and divide it by 7, I get an equal amount of 55. So if I say the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in a post-Shemitah year, like in the year 70, this is already the first year, so then if I go back to the year 386, I get to a Shemitah year. So in other words, the year 316, let's see if that's correct. The year 385, 385 before the Korban, which is the year 315, which is the year. The year, let's put it like this. Calculation may be wrong. We'll have to redo it again. As I said, this is all about the Hefsha. We're going to have to figure it out itself, but it's not. 385 before the Churban. One second. The year 385 years before the year 70 would also come out to be a Shemitah year because it divides equally by 7. So once again, 70 minus 85 is 315. 315 divided by 7. Yes, 315. Okay, that comes out. The year 315 BC, according to the Gemara, according to the Cheshbon and the Gemara here, it comes out that Alexander the Great makes it to Eretz Yisrael in the year 315 BCE, and that would fit with the case of Mishnah. It divides evenly into 7, and that would fit with the case of Mishnah that during the second Beis Hamikdash there was no phantom Yovel year, it divides by 7. So I'm saying that al derech Hefsha, because to figure out this Gemara, how it matches what we know about Alexander the Great, that's something that's very hard to play with history. We know when Alexander the Great was. So we have to work and figure that out. But that, maybe that can be an answer for what the case of Mishnah, says. Okay, but let's go back to what we have so far. We have, if so, the Rambam's opinion is that during what he wanted to originally say is that during the second Beis Hamikdash was a phantom Yovel year, and after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, you also have a phantom Yovel year, and therefore you subtract blocks of 50, 50, 50 from when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and the rest is you divide by 7. So therefore the Rambam says 1107, the year of the Korban that he's standing there, he's living then, take off 1100 years, all you're left with is the year 7, and that's exactly the Shemitah year. That's what the Rambam originally said. In the second opinion, where he brings the Gaonim, etc., if there is no phantom Yovel year, and all you do is blocks of 777, which is what we are knowing today. Okay. So, what do we know historically? What do we know historically about Shemitah? There's another historical date, which I didn't calculate yet, and I'm not going to do now. But we know that when the Alexander the Great captured Eretz Yisrael, we know Chazal was Shemitah, and in those days taxes were by commodities and not by money. And one of the things the Jews requested from Alexander the Great, after they greeted him and let him in, and he liked them, the whole story of Shimon HaTzadik, they asked for permission, according to Josephus, that during the Shemitah year, they should not have to pay taxes. And likewise, in the year 63 BCE, when Pompeius, the Roman general, captures Eretz Yisrael from the Hashmonaim, also at the invitation of the Jewish people, or some of them, it was a civil war between two brothers, Hyrcanus and Aristobulus, they also asked for that request from the Roman government to be absolved from taxes during the Shemitah year, and they were granted it. And the Samaritans, whenever it was good for them to be like the Jews they were, they also said, we're also Jewish, and therefore we're entitled to those rights, and the king said, you're right, and that's it. So, we know that Bnei Yisrael kept Shemitah dearly. During the time of the story of Hanukkah, and this I didn't calculate yet exactly what year it was, but one of the battles of Hanukkah, one of the battles of the Hellenists, the Greeks, the Seleucids, against the Jews, there were 8 battles in the time of Yudah Maccabee alone. Battle number 4, the Battle of Beit Tzur. Beit Tzur is a place north of Hebron, south of Beit Lechem, and the city did not survive. It surrendered because they ran out of food, because it was a Shemitah year. That's what it says in the Book of the Maccabees. I didn't exactly have time to calculate it, so I'll save that Blin Eder, we'll owe it to you for next time. What do we know historically? The Rambam says clearly that the Gaonim, and that's a tradition in Eretz Yisrael, that's a tradition when Shemitah was. So what do we know historically that can shed light on this? Very little, but yes, we do have. in a city called Tzoar. Tzoar is a famous city where Lot ran away from, and he sat in Tzoar. In the city of Tzoar, there was a Jewish population during the Second Beis Hamikdash period and beyond. Even after the Bar Kokhba revolt, when the Jewish population in Judea pretty much emptied out, then the southern part of Judea, Jews remained. So there's shuls, remains of shuls found in Engedi, in Susia, in Eshtemoa, Kfar Aziz, we know Rabbi Shmuel lived in, but that's a section called Daroma. Daroma south, and that section the Jews remained even after the Bar Kokhba revolt. In the year 132-135, when the rest of Judea pretty much emptied out of all its Jewish population, but the south remained, and Tzoar also remained a Jewish town. A shul hasn't been found there, but tombstones have been popping up on the antiquities market for a long time now. A few of them cannot be seen in the Israel Museum, which are closed for renovations, but they're there. And some of them can be seen in the Torah Museum in Borough Park. He's got a couple of them. A bunch of tombstones from Tzoar. And the tombstones of Tzoar have dates on them, and the two sets of dates that they have, one is how many years from the Shemitah year, one how many years from the Churban, and two, which year it is in the Shemitah year. And I don't have the full exact information over here, I said below that also for next time, Blineda, but it's clear from those calculations that they did not have this phantom Yovel year after the Churban. It all divides by equally by seven. And as the Rambam says that that was a Masoros, that was a tradition from the Gaonim, we know that that's the way it was. We know from these tombstones and so on. And I also got reference another document, which I still have to search up in the library, a Ksuba from a place in Egypt, also from the 4th century approximately, which is when these tombstones and so on are also from, and also mentioning the Shemitah year. So the Jews kept on to the tradition, knowing the year of Shemitah and keeping the mitzvah of Shemitah. It was only later on in the days of Rabbi Yana when they had no choice, they started working the land during Shemitah. But Shemitah was a very a mitzvah which the Jews held on to, despite the fact, despite the difficulty in keeping Shemitah. It's not exactly a very easy mitzvah to fulfill, but nonetheless they kept on to they held on to it. We have a very interesting story in Gemara and Sanhedrin. So if you find it, now I'll have to say it from memory. Yes. Sanhedrin Chavav. Reish Lakish. It mentions Rav Chiya bar Zanuki, Rav Shimon ben Tzadok, they were going to be Ma'aber Shana. They were going to make a leap year. So Reish Lakish decided to join them. And on the way, they see a Jew working his field during the Shemitah year. And Reish Lakish turns to them and says, Kohen, Bazama, this is a Kohen, and he's pruning his field during Shemitah. Why don't you say something? So they said, look, he could say, I'm not really pruning it. I'm not really pruning it for the sake of the vines. I just need the wood for the Beis Habat. Okay, so they didn't want to reprimand the person for working during Shemitah. Later, Reish Lakish comes to Rabbi Yochanan, and he tells him, people who are choshut to be mevatel shmita, how can we rely on their cheshbon for ibur shana? And then he goes on and says even harsh. He says hacha kesher rishonu v'kesher rishonu min aminyan. These people are rishon, and rishon don't even count. So now you have a calculation in Bezdin, 2 versus 3, who wins? You can't even count them because they're rishon. So we see that Reish Lakish refers to these people as rishon. Who are these? These are amoraim. Who are going to be Ma'aber Shana, he calls them Rishonim because they failed to rebuke someone who didn't, who was working the field in Shemitah. Another very, two fascinating stories that we have, and I have this in the Hebrew source page to see what it meant to keep Shemitah in ancient times. One is the Medrash and Eicha. The Medrash and Eicha on the Pasuk says, Ayisi Sechok L'chol Ami, Neginasum Kol Hayom. They would make fun of me, the Goyim. They're sitting in the theaters and they're sitting in the circuses and they're drinking shechar and they're drunk and they make fun of the Jews, and then the theaters, they have plays. So what plays do they have? They bring the camel into the theater on the stage and he's bandaged up. One guy says to the other, Al Mazem Isabel, why, what's your camel mourning for, that he's all dressed up in it. Ben Olam HaYehudim Alolu Shomer Shmiyasem. The Jews, they keep Shemitah. Ve'en Lehem Yerek. And they're not allowed to eat. Ve'achul HaChochim Shavza. So what did they eat? Nothing, they're not allowed to grow. So they ate the thorns. Ve'um Mishavul HaLehem. Normally the camel eats the thorns. We know it says Rav Leza, Mekayim Kodesim Becherem. Rav Leza says, it's Kelayim because in Arvia, the Mekayim Kodesim for the camel. So the camels eat thorns. So normally the camel has what to eat. He has thorns. No one else eats it. But now that it's Shemitah by the Jews, so therefore they don't have what to eat, and they eat the thorns, and since they eat the thorns, the camel's in mourning because he doesn't have what to eat. Now, this obviously reflected some extent of truth on what the situation was. Now, we're talking over here, hundreds of years after the Churban, and we see that that was the situation. Another very fascinating story, and with that, we'll finish for today. A Tosefta in Maseches Olos, in Perek Yudches. It says like this. Hey, Rabbi Yehuda ben Yaakov Mezgufin, Rabbi Yaakov Rabbi Yitzchak Mezgufin, Al-Kaisi, Shechzikah Bameolah. Caesarea, they were machzikit that it should have Kedusha Shvis. V'itirua Shalom v'minyan. And nonetheless, they were matzirit, but not v'minyan chachamim, meaning the people were matzirit on their own, and they didn't wait for chachamim to agree. What did they do? So it tells over here a fascinating story. Am Rabchana. O Seshana Shvis Haisa. That year was Shvis. The goyim went to the circus. And they left the market full of fruit. Because they made a cheshbon like this. The goyim, they're all in the circus anyway. And the Jews don't eat from the fruit. Why don't they eat from the fruit? Because it's Shemitah. So they left all the stuff in the market without anyone watching it. And then the Jews got together and decided that Kesari, Caesarea, does not have Kedusha Shvi'is, and they looted all the fruit in the market. And when the Goyim came back, let's go to Chachamim, Shemar Yitir Lem Chazirim, to find out if they were matter them to eat Chazir. Meaning it was so strong that you're not allowed to eat, the fruit of Shvi'is, that when the Jews were martyred, because they held that it didn't have Kedusha Shvi'a Caesarea, and which the Tosefta ends off to say that later on, Chachamim agreed with them, but it began by the people themselves, Shalom Aminya, and the guy felt it was like as if that they ate Chazer. It was so strong to them. So we see in Mesilas Nefesh that the Jews had throughout the ages, and again, we didn't get to the modern times, which is a shiur in itself, to talk about Shemitah in the modern days. We see long after the Churban, the year of Shemitah was well known, well documented, as the Rambam says, it's Ishma Piyish from the Gaonim, it's known and documented, and all other sources that B'nai Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael, despite all the difficulties and the hardships, kept Shemitah. So we know that Chazal say, we mentioned this, the first Mitzvah Mishnah and the second Mitzvah Mishnah was destroyed because of Matzah Shvi'is, obviously tying it into the Churban, to the Mitzvah of Shemitah. And Chazal also say that by Matzah Shvi'is, that would then go. The Mitzvah of Shemitah is a very important Mitzvah for us to hold on to Eretz Yisrael. If we keep the thing, then Hashem will grant us the schus that we're able to sit in Eretz Yisrael, Yishavtem al-Aretz v'Betach.